Hello again, Nightmare Society. If you're a dog person, you'll definitely want to go check out my Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio or my Twitter at Society_Radio to see the dog from our first story tonight, 7. This story was submitted by Ginger. Thanks so much for sharing 7 and your story with us, Ginger. Also, a big thanks to user Red Reale for sharing their story as well. You can find their encounter linked in the description, so go to Reddit and give them an upvote. And lastly, thanks to user A. Huxel for their truly terrifying true horror story. If you're a runner, you will not want to miss that one. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Let me start by saying that I am in my mid-30s, and I do not scare easily. And I would like to say I have no problem holding my own. This past June, I got my husband a blue-nose pit bull puppy for his birthday. Well, it was really for me and my daughter. Since my son joined the Marine Corps, our home seems empty. We live in a good-sized apartment, and because of this, house training was a must, and my puppy took to it right away. So in July, on a Sunday morning at 3:45 a.m., my puppy comes and wakes me up crying, and I knew it was the cry that he needed to use the restroom. So, like a good fur mommy, I put on my sweater and took my puppy out half asleep. Because it was only 3:45 in the morning, I told myself, don't take your phone because you'll be scrolling through Instagram and you'll be outside longer than needed. I also told myself, don't turn on any of the lights so you won't wake yourself up completely. Don't lock the front door so you won't have to fumble with the keys when coming back. I live on the 3rd floor. I take the elevator to the 1st floor and then walk to the lobby where the main security door is. Again, I told myself, don't close the main door all the way. When I come back, I can just open it and I don't have to bother with my keys or security code. Thank God I was being super lazy. I take my puppy down the street almost to the corner. When we were walking, I thought to myself,
wow, I think I'm the only person on the block awake.
There were no house lights on, no movement, just the street lights. Then I started hearing this sound from a distance, and I was like, oh, I spoke too soon. It was coming from this car. I could see the headlights, and I don't know anything about cars, but it sounded like it had a broken muffler or exhaust pipe. I wasn't worried until the car made a slow right turn in front of me, and I could tell the driver was looking right at me, and not the street or direction where he was going. I couldn't see his face, just his arm resting on the driver window. At that moment, I got full body chills, and I turned around and started to walk back towards my apartment. Right when I got to my driveway, I could hear the car again. The guy must have made a U-turn, and I hear him coming down my street. I'm now speed walking. Thank the Lord I didn't lock the security door. I got to the elevator and I felt safe. Then I got out of the elevator. I was a step away from my door when I heard the security door leading to the stairs slam. I thought, oh my gosh. No way. I rush inside and I went in the guest bathroom since it faces the street that I just came in from. I could still hear the car, so I looked out the window. And there it was. The loud muffler car. Still on. Not even parked. Just idling in the street. I was frozen in shock. I felt my face. It was red hot and my ears were throbbing. And before you know it, the guy walked out and got in his car and took off. I went to go lay back down, wide awake. And my husband asked me in a sleepy tone,
"Are you okay?"
I said,
Yeah. But do you want to hear something crazy?
I told him what happened. And he said I could no longer take the puppy out in the middle of the night. And when I take the pup out from now on, he's going to go with me. He also told me that I had to let my manager know so that she can check the cameras. The next day, I told the manager what happened, and she checked the cameras, and sure enough, the guy came in our building through the stairway. I guess that door didn't always lock, but there's no way for him to see which way I went. You can see him walk up to the second floor, look around, and then he gave up and left. My manager made a police report for trespassing that Monday, and the officer told her to look up on the app next door, and two blocks away a man with the same description had broken into a townhome where a woman was, but was scared away by her son. My husband tried to make me feel better by saying maybe it was a drug addict and he wanted to steal the puppy so he could sell it, since it's a full breed blue nose pit bull with blue eyes. I told him it was so dark there was no way he could have seen what kind of puppy it was. So we live in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. The closest neighbor is about 900 meters away by road, and 600 if you cut through their forest. We've lived here for quite some time, and never had really that much of a problem with the neighbors. My mom has four large dogs, two being Alaskan Malamutes, one Husky Malamute mix, and one German Shepherd Malamute mix. They bark at things they see. If they see hunters or deer or moose on the far side of the field next to our house, or whether it's a car driving or people walking down our road, they bark loudly. And when I say our road, I mean our road. It's about 200 meters long and leads only to our house and away from it. No other properties. One of the dogs stays inside at night. Two are inside a large fenced area and one is outside of the fenced area on a chain leash connected to her doghouse. They are really the sweetest dogs and couldn't hurt a fly. Well, maybe a fly. But never people. They do have a large problem with running away though, meaning that if they somehow get loose, they stay loose for hours, roaming other people's properties, unless you catch or lure them back within seconds. They come back on their own after approximately 3 to 5 hours, but we try to find them and catch them before they cause any harm on others. Well, one night, and I mean the middle of the night, around 3 a.m., my dad gets a phone call from a blocked number. Being all groggy from literally just waking up, he answers it. The male voice on the other end of it says aggressively,
"Make your fucking dog shut the fuck up before I call the fuck
fucking police and animal control.
My dad just apologizes and the other person hangs up. My dad got up worried and goes to check on the dogs. I know you're getting ahead of yourselves, but our dogs are still there. They all seemed to have just woken up when my dad walked outside, and now he was a bit annoyed for being threatened for no reason at all. Also, if they had been barking, the police couldn't find him, and animal control couldn't either, considering the dogs were healthy. A month passes, and we all forget about the strange call. The next occurrence may not even be the same person, but I wouldn't be surprised. My parents wake up, make some coffee, and go out for a cigarette as they normally do. They sat there for a moment until they saw one of our dogs laying on the porch next to them. The dog watched them with guilt in his eyes, and soon our other dog came running from behind the house, wagging its tail happily. The third dog on the chain leash started howling at this, and my parents went to check if they had just closed the door poorly. The fenced area was quite large, as I said, built with thick metal nets supported by poles. It was about 2.5 meters tall, or about 8 feet, so I can't even reach the top. The door was a frame with the same metal net, but strengthened with a piece of tin panel at the bottom, because the dogs had once wiggled through it. But the problem wasn't the door. They had not dug their way out or magically jumped away. No. In the back of the fence, there was a large hole, cut with metal cutters or something else. Around the hole, there were muddy footprints, and my parents called the police after taking the dogs in. Somehow, the police didn't see the problem and said that it was likely that the dogs had chewed their way out. Those words literally came from the police officer's mouth. Our third dog was probably not let out because she has the meanest bark you'll ever hear. She literally will roll over if you go closer, but the culprits didn't know that, so they went from the back. Well, my dad bought a hunting camera, and gladly no one came there again. Maybe the scariest part of them being let out of the pen is that it was hunting season, and a hunter could have shot the dogs during the night. I say specifically hunters, because here only hunters are permitted to own firearms. Once we found a plastic bag with raw meat outside our dog pen. Obviously, it was thrown out immediately, but it still creeps me out. And the whole ordeal is just so weird. Maybe it was a messed up prank and the consequences were unclear to those doing it. Maybe they tried to catch the dogs and take them, but they were too fast and strong. Or maybe they wanted to send a message, like some sort of maniac. But this certainly kept us on edge for quite a while. This happened when I was about 18 years old. I was big into running back then and lived in a town that was a suburb but had two big swaths of farmland, as in smallish tomato and strawberry fields, not huge, never-ending wheat fields or anything like that. I preferred running on the dirt at the edges of these fields because it was a lot easier on my legs than running long distances on concrete or asphalt. And I was usually training for half marathons, 13.1 miles for those who aren't insane enough to think running is fun. This particular day, I was planning to run an easy 6 miles. I told my mom and she suggested I do a loop and meet them at the dog park about 3 miles from our house, as that was my halfway point. This is pre-cell phone era, when all the craziest stuff went down. But being careful, I took a walkie-talkie my dad always used and my mom took the other one. Now, the walkie-talkie had a range longer than the ones my brothers and I played around with when we were younger, but it definitely did not work 3 miles away, and I honestly had no idea what its exact range was. So I take off on my run. I'm planning to go on the sidewalk for a little bit until I get into the fields. I think it was a lettuce field or something then, but short, small plants nonetheless. I'm running in the dirt with the road a few yards to my left. I have to run south and then turn right into a slightly smaller, less traveled road to get to the dog park. As I'm running on the first dirt part, my parents drive by, and being dorks, they honk and wave and yell at me. I wave and then soon after make my turn onto the smaller road. This one is flat and just a dirt road. A small drainage ditch, forever lettuce field to the sides, and then a wall that is the backyard of someone's house. I start noticing how quiet this street is and how few cars are passing me. Then I randomly start thinking to myself,
if someone tried to do something, I could run to those houses. No, they're so far away, I'd never make it.
Then I hear a car. But this one doesn't pass me like all the others. I hear it slow down so that it's just behind me, just out of my peripheral vision. My senses go super alert and I immediately realize what an idiot I was to pick this route, because I'm stuck out here with no one to help me and nowhere to hide. The car starts speeding up enough so that it's next to me and I glance over and see a man. Middle-aged, white, dark hair. Totally normal looking, but I get a chill down my spine immediately. He sort of leans over into the passenger seat and says in a super sweet voice,
Hi, where are you going? You need a ride?
I am scared, and I realize this is not good. Admittedly, nothing has happened yet, and he could be totally innocent, just wanting to chat. But my intuition is in overdrive, telling me I'm not safe. I hop over the ditch, thinking at least that I will make it harder for his car to follow me if I need to take off across the field to try and make it to those houses in the distance. This makes him angry. He guns it and gets closer to the ditch and in front of where I am. And then he says in a voice that I can only describe as bone-chillingly evil,
You know, you shouldn't be out here all alone. Something horrible could happen to you out here and no one would ever know where to find you.
He then puts his car in park and is taking off his seatbelt when I remember the walkie-talkie. This piece of crap is all static because I'm too far away, so I immediately turn down the volume and say loudly,
Hey, Dad, yeah, I see your car. I'm over here by this red Buick. Do you see me?
All the while, I'm fake waving to no one. There was no car coming from the direction my parents were, and when I had started talking, there was no one behind us either. But by the grace of the universe, at that exact moment, a car turned onto that road. The guy saw it, looked at me, and sped off so fast he left skid marks. I've never run faster in my entire life. And I was looking behind me every few seconds and thought he'd be waiting for me at every intersection I had to cross. I was shaking, I was so scared, and relieved when I got to that damn dog park. I told my parents everything and my mom called the cops. They took a statement but said it would just help if something actually happened to someone else. The weird part was I was having trouble getting my story out, I was so upset. And before I gave a description of the car, the cop asked,
Was it a red Buick?
He wouldn't tell us why, but that just added to my feeling that I had narrowly escaped something awful. Again, thank you to Ginger, user Red Reale, and user A Huxel for sharing their true horror stories with us. Please send yours to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com, and don't forget to check out our Patreon members-only campfire for creepy stuff, early access, commercial-free, and also bonus content. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.